Welcome to the Daily Inspiration. This is Steve Coleman. We'd like to turn our eyes upon Jesus. If you recall, 2 days ago, we looked at the creation that God, in the beginning, everything that was good was because God breathed into it. You know, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, the face of the deep, and then later on, God breathed the breath of life into man, and he looked, and everything was very good. And then we saw how that the advent of sin, the coming of sin into the turning away from God, the disobedience to the will of God, brought about something which was no longer good. In fact, I would say it was not good. And that's where we left off. And so today we're going to look at Jesus, because if we're ever going to return back to that which is good, it has to be through Jesus Christ. So as I think about looking at Jesus, I think about Philippians chapter 2, and let's hear what Jesus did. He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So as we look at Jesus today, I want to look at Jesus walking upon the earth as a humble servant. And just think about all that we know about our Lord as he walked on this earth and he went about doing good. You know, even as he was going on the most important errand of his life and heading to face the cross, to face the Garden of Gethsemane and the separation from God and to offer himself, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And even in that passage to death, yet Christ was still a servant of all. He still cared about each person that he met. He cared about healing. He cared about casting out demons. And then we see, you know, as Christ walked on this earth, we also see the times of feeding, because he cared about the multitude. You know, they had been with him and not eating, and he said, well, we need to take care of them. And so that gives us a sense of the heart of God, but it definitely gives us a sense of Jesus Christ. So we should, if we've read and we understand, we've read our scriptures and we've seen the life of Christ, we should be able to know the heart of the Lord in all things. What would he do? He would be a servant. And that's what it says here in Philippians chapter 2. It says, he made himself of no reputation. He was not a leader, an important person. There wasn't, you know, he was important because people recognized the Spirit of God moving in him. But it wasn't that he became a Caesar, that he murdered his brothers in order to rise up or any of those kind of things. No, rather, he took the low road. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. And then it says he further humbled himself to be obedient to the will and the heart of God. And that right there, beloved, is what it takes. That's what it takes to offset or to overcome the disobedience to God. Is here's Christ's obedience. And so I say it this way: if ever there was one who did not deserve to die, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have, he became obedient unto death. And so let's look for a moment as we turn our eyes on Christ. And we're looking for the solution to sin. We're looking for the return to that which was very good. You know, here we had God, and he moved on the face of the deep, and he breathed the breath of life, and things were very good. And then sin made things no longer good. And now we're looking at Jesus Christ. And what better place to look than there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as Christ... He wrestles even before his father, and he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And beloved, we must rejoice for the nevertheless, because I fear that the Father might have granted the Son even that request, even though it was necessary. It was absolutely necessary that he would face the cross, and he knew it. And yet the love of God was so strong as to even overcome the agony of such a death as a death on the cross. And that death on the cross, that man who suffered himself, God, as fully God, as God the Father, God allowed himself to be tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. If any ever dwelt on the face of this earth and did not deserve to die, it would be Jesus Christ. And yet, here he is, offering himself. No man took his life. He laid it down. He laid down upon the cross, and they nailed him to the cross, and they set him up, and they crucified him. And even in that crucifixion, do you know what his heart was to serve and to help others? And so now, let's gaze at one more scene of Jesus, and let's turn our eyes upon Jesus on the throne. And beloved, this is the rightful place, and this is the place that he will dwell now for all of eternity, Christ on the throne, ever seated at the right hand of the Father, except, beloved, for the times when he may stand, as we see when Stephen, his faithful martyr, stood for the faith and stood for the Lord, and the Lord stood up and applauded even Stephen in that time frame. But ever seated at the right hand of the Father. And, you know, if we would go and we would take a survey through Scripture and we would find the few places where we see the beauty of the throne of God, we see that men run out of words. We find phrases like this, like unto. It was something to behold that would leave us speechless. It would leave a man, an otherwise eloquent man, absolutely speechless. And so we want to consider the great white throne. We want to consider the crystal blue throne. You know, all of these pictures that we have of God, there's something that transcends the beauty, the most beautiful thing that we can picture on this earth, that our minds, way beyond what we can imagine, what we can think of when we think of the glory of God, way beyond all of that glory, there is the throne of God. And you know, one day every knee will bow before the throne of God, and every tongue will confess. Some will confess as they bow before the throne of Jesus Christ. Some will confess with joy that Jesus is Lord. And some, I fear, many, will confess with a dread and will recognize that, yes, indeed, Jesus is Lord. So all those who've mocked and all those who've turned their backs and all those who've, all that have refused obedience to Christ and refused surrender to Christ will one day bow their knee. We know that from Scripture, that they will bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God has given him a name, and that's what Philippians goes on to say. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so that's where we want to turn our eyes. We want to look at Jesus Christ, and we want to recognize that it's faith in Christ, it's faith in that sacrifice, it's faith in that shed blood that establishes once again and makes life very good. Is life very good life? Does that mean it's a good life by the world's standards? Absolutely not. But it means it's a good life by God's standard. And that means that we know how to walk with God in the cool of the evening, and that God provides for our needs. And so, beloved, that's my inspiration and my prayer for us today, that as we consider all of the things that are very bad, that all of the negatives, the not good, the very bad, and I think I may have alluded to it, that as time goes on here and there's more and more and more that's bad, then, beloved, what we need to do is behold the good. The good being Christ, and we need to keep our eyes fixed upon him. If you have not trusted your eternal soul to the keeping of Jesus Christ, now is the moment, now is the time, before this world crashes down around us. I don't know how much time we have, but this is the appointed hour. As we know, our neighbors and our friends and our relatives, and they have not trusted, and people that are strangers, and you see them, you know, wisdom cries in the street, and we look and we see people walking in the street, and we recognize that they don't know Christ. Beloved, I pray that somehow the Lord would unloose the string of all of our lips, mine included, that we would have such a passion after Christ and such a sense of dread for all of eternity, of all of mankind, that we could be somehow the mouthpiece of the Lord, and that this message could get through, and so that others would have the same blessed hope, the blessed hope in the appearing, the coming of Christ, and the blessed hope of the standing before the great white throne, and knowing that all of my sins are under the blood because of the shed blood of Christ. My sins are covered, we sing, covered by the blood. That's where we need to keep our eyes. That's where we need to keep our focus. Not on the things of this world, because, no, I'm afraid that things are not all good anymore, that things, in fact, are very bad. So as we keep our eyes on Christ, I think that then what comes forth out of our lives now is something which, once again, is very good. So that's my inspiration for us here this day. And so may God bless that word, and may God bless you as you turn your eyes upon Christ.